You're listening to the King's Church Ringwood podcast. For more information, please visit www.kingschurchringwood.co.uk.
It's even hotter stood here. I'd just like to tell you that. This area here, even warmer. So if you don't know me, my name's Ian. I am part of the leadership team here at the King's Church Ringwood. And it is a complete honour to be stood here in front of you this morning. And I believe God's given me a word that is in season for this church. And it's not an easy one either. It's been a right week of voyage and discovery for me as I've delved into God's word. But firstly, on a lighter note, have you noticed? I am not in the New Frontiers uniform. I am not wearing jeans. I'm not wearing a checked shirt. It's quite freeing. It's lovely. I want to start by asking you a simple question. Have you noticed that when people dress differently, they get a different amount of honour and respect? You think of our society. You've got the person that is sovereign over our land, the Queen. She wears a crown. We all respect her. Let's go down a level. The National Forces, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, they all wear a smart uniform. We all respect them for what they do for our country. You get to the canons, the priests, they have lots of regalia. They look smart. We respect them. The police, they look smart, they dress well, they wear them. And we give them honour because they protect us. Now, traffic wardens break the mould a little bit. They wear a uniform, but quite often we don't give them the respect they deserve. Politicians and businessmen. Now, they dress smart, don't they? But do we always show them respect and honour for what they do? But if you go to the complete extreme of that, you get to the homeless and the destitute. Now, they're not the best dressed. They might even smell a little bit. And they are not treated with honour and respect. See, the way that we dress and the way that we demean ourselves can really determine the amount of honour and respect that we get. And it's not just the way that we dress that can determine that. It's our age, our circumstance of life. It can be any of a multitude of things that can affect that. The same thing can be said about honour. You know, honour is a big thing. And the way that we demean ourselves can quite often determine the amount of honour we are given. And unfortunately, in our culture, in our society, both honour and respect for each other, the elderly, the homeless, is lacking. It's sparingly used. And it is a real shame. The question that's been on my heart this week is, do you think there is a danger that these values can be lost in our church? Could we lose respect and honour for each other? Or even worse, could we lose our respect and honour for God? As I said, I found this week a real voyage of discovery. And I've been studying Malachi 1, verses 6 to 9. And I shall read it for you. I think Sue's going to put it up on the board as well. Yep. A son honours his father, and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honour due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you priests who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible when you offer blind animals for sacrifice. Is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now plead with God to be gracious with such offerings from your hands. Will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Yeah, Father God, I just want to thank you for your word. I thank you that it is there to encourage, to build, to rebuke and to teach us, Lord. And I pray that this morning you will teach us through your word, Lord, and that we will all leave this place with a greater understanding of what you want from us. Yeah, thank you, Lord. This week there's been an old hymn on my heart all week. And it is "Jesus Shall Take the Highest Honour." And it is a wonderful hymn, and it's got a lovely melody, but the words just impact me so much. So this morning, my 3 points will be loosely tied around that hymn. My first point will be, Jesus shall take the highest honour. My second point will be, let's bow the knee in humble adoration. And my third point will be, let every tongue confess, he is Christ, God's only Son. See, this piece of scripture, Malachi, is just completely jam-packed full of liquid gold. It's a wonderful dialogue between God through the prophet Malachi and his priest and the people of Israel. It's full of contrasts and depth. And if you were just to skim read it, quickly read it, you would miss out on the depth and the gold that is within this passage. Verse 6 of our passage reads that a son honours his father and a slave his master. See, Malachi was living in a society where honour was a really big thing. It was expected of people to respect those that are in authority over them, whether that be their parents, the institutes of law, the priests. Lord, everyone would be honoured. You would listen to them. You would keep their commands. That was just the way it was. There was no other expectation on people but to show everyone else honour and respect. They were living under the law of Moses, and we can read the standards that they lived under in Leviticus. Now, these have been known as the holiness laws. They were pretty much the rule book for life, the yardstick that they had to live their lives to. And when you stop to read those laws, it becomes very clear that a culture of honour is what they are being called to. Children, honour your parents. Stand up in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly. It teaches about using honest measures in business, about treating your business partners with respect. Their whole way of living was a way of honour. See, just as a side thought, are we good at that? I mean, are we good at showing honour to the people that are around us? See, we're British. We have the stiff upper lip. We're forthright in our approach, and things are the way they are. But do we treat people with honour? Do we thank those people that go out of their way to help us? Do we thank those that serve the church? Would we thank those in politics for the work that they do? I know we may have opinions about them doing it wrong, but we still need to respect them because they've stood up and been accounted for what they're doing. How about those people that are outside of the church? You know, our bosses at work. Do we treat them with respect? See, I know that it can be really easy to get into a bad way of thinking. To think badly of those that are in authority over us. It can be easy to enter into madness or to into bitterness or to gossip behind people's backs. But I feel that when it says a son honours his father and a slave its master, it's really teaching us that we need to honour those people in our society. They did it in their society. They're our forefathers, so we should be following their example. They were so good at keeping the laws, and they were so good at showing each other respect. You would have thought that they would have shown that much respect, or that much more respect, to the God that gave them the laws to begin with. But when you read this passage in Malachi, you see that they so fell short. God makes a real point about honour and respect in the first verse. A son honours his father and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honour due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? What an opening statement to make. Where is the honour and respect due to me? You read this and you get a real sense of God's frustration with his people. And you know I'm a big fan of the dictionary. I looked up the word respect, and it is a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something elicited by their abilities, qualities, or achievements. Honour. See, honour is so much deeper than that. It is the quality of knowing and doing what is morally right. It is to fulfill or keep an agreement made in terms of a contract or a covenant. The priests of Israel, yeah, they were great at showing respect and honour for each other. But they didn't show it to God. It says that they showed God contempt. Contempt. That's a huge word. And one that, quite frankly, scares me. See, you could use the word contempt and replace it with a whole group of other words like disrespect, disdain, neglect, despise, or to scorn. What powerful words God was saying to the priests of his time, or for that time. Now, if I was to show contempt to someone, you guys would be so shocked. There'd be uproar. You'd be like, what are you doing? Contempt is such a harsh word. So why, oh why, were God's own priests doing the same thing to their father God? See, the priests were showing contempt and disdain for God through their sacrifices. Now, in the Old Testament, we read a lot about sacrifices, and they serve three main purposes, and that is the atonement for sin. There were self-offering sacrifice as well, where you would sacrifice your time, you would give God grain offerings, and you'd give God animal sacrifices along with oil offerings, and they were intended to show God's people the need for self-sacrifice. They were to show to God that he got the best from you, that you gave him what was at the top of your purse and not in the scrapings from the bottom. Sacrifice is a huge thing in God's eyes. It shows the heart of the person doing the offering. See, the priests were offering spoiled goods, spoiled animals, you know, the dirty ones, that the rejected ones that nobody wants. And it appears that they were doing it for their own selfish greed. But they would have known. They would have known God's heart for sacrifice. You know, Leviticus 22, verse 20 to 22 says this: do not bring anything with a defect, because it will not be accepted on your behalf. That's pretty clear, isn't it? When anyone brings from the herd or flock a fellowship offering to the Lord to fulfill a special vow or a freewill offering, it must be without blemish to be acceptable. That's pretty clear as well, isn't it? Do not offer to the Lord the blind, the injured, or the maimed, or anything with warts or festering or running sores. I like that bit. It appeals to my childish nature. But that's what they were doing. They were bringing God the dregs of what they had. They were keeping the best stuff for themselves to sell on for profit, to peddle their own means. That's not what they were being called to. They knew the law. They knew what God wanted from them. But they showed contempt for God by bringing him stuff that really wasn't worthy. They did exactly the opposite of what God had asked them to do. Now, as I was researching this passage, I came across a guy called Gordon Wenham. And he said this: the aim of these rituals is to make God's continued presence among his people possible. Just as these rituals also made it possible for the people to stand before their God, God was present, and their indifference to his presence increased the severity of their sin. See, God was right there with them. He was right there in the midst of their sacrifices, and they just showed indifference towards him. Now, I know that I would never want to be in that place. But the wonderful thing is that God gave these people a chance. He gave them a chance to see what they were doing was wrong. And I respect and honour Malachi for bringing God's words to them. So we have already read that through him God made a statement about how society works. That sons respect their father and slaves their master. You know, he tells them this is what society's like. You respect these people. Shouldn't you be respecting God? Then he asks another simple question. He tries to appeal to their common decency. He says, when you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? He gives them another chance to see their failings. Then again, we read, when you offer lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Once again, he gives them another chance to try and see that what they're doing is wrong. See, God is such a gentle God, and he just asks these gentle questions. Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Once again, he's asking them to examine themselves, to appeal to their common decency, their common sense, really. But they didn't see the error of their ways. And the thing is that these unfit sacrifices were being made on the priest's watch. It was their responsibility to make sure that the people were bringing spotless sacrifices. They were responsible for the contempt that was being shown to God. The priest had really dropped the ball. They were the people that were chosen to teach God's people. They were the ones that were told to keep God's temple holy. It was with them that the fault lied. See, the priests would have been the people that everyone would have gone for guidance. They would have gone to them for wisdom. They were the people that should have shown the right way to live, the right path to walk down. They were the people that were there to teach honesty and to live a life full of sacrifice to God. Thing is, if God's own representatives, the priests, couldn't get it right, what hope did the people of Israel have? You know, there was no hope at all. Then our last verse, it says, now plead with God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hand, will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty. Now, this is quite a powerful warning, isn't it? Plead. It's not just like, oh, please, is it? It's a pleading. It's, oh, please, God, forgive me. But they still didn't. They still didn't plead with God. It's a real shame, isn't it? You know, you would have thought, God speaking to them through Malachi, they would have come to their senses. They would have seen that what they were doing was wrong. And because of their behaviour, it's no surprise that there was 400 years of radio silence between the two covenants. You know, 400 years where God didn't speak to his people. It's no wonder if the priests were showing such contempt towards him. What a mess. But I'm so grateful that's not the end of the story. This brings me to my first point, and they're short points. Jesus shall take the highest honour. See, I've been completely overcome this week by the weight of this scripture. Completely overcome by the responsibility that I hold. See, Malachi was addressing the priests of Israel. They lived under the old covenant. They lived to adhere to the laws of Moses. The people went to the priests to atone for their sin. They had to go to the temple to bring their sacrifices. But they showed contempt to God for not bringing him their best. See, it was as if that they were a generation of box tickers. And we all know people like that. You go, have you prayed? Yeah, tick. Have you kept the laws? Yeah, to the letter. Have you sacrificed? Well, a little bit. I've ticked that box. It wasn't my best, but I've done it anyway. Have you read the text? Oh, yeah, a little bit. Yeah. They were a generation of box tickers. They were like, oh, it's just like they couldn't be bothered. It was a complete disdain. They couldn't be bothered to do it right. They showed a little bit of effort. They ticked boxes, but was it their best? Was it heck? See, they had forgotten the real reasons for taking part in sacrificing to begin with. The thing is, we live under the new covenant. Jesus has become the sacrifice for our sins. He made himself the living sacrifice. He made a way for us to come to God and to live with him. It was Jesus that took the punishment that was due to us. He was completely unblemished. He was spotless. He was holy. See, he was not like anything in comparison to the lame, the diseased, the festering animals that the priest brought him. All we need to do to give sacrifices to come to Jesus. He's done it. He's sacrificed himself for us. We don't have to go through the same Mosaic laws that the priest had to do. But we still need to come in honor and respect. You know, we live under grace. And I love the acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. We live under grace. But this week I was chatting this through with Rob, and we were exploring what it looks like to live outside of the law or in the new covenant. And we came to one startling conclusion that, yes, we live under grace. And grace has done away with the old laws, but actually it hasn't. What grace has done is enhanced the laws, because actually we know what's right and wrong. Grace doesn't cancel out the principles. It doesn't cancel out what's been before. It just makes it that much more important that we honour God by keeping them. See, grace is a gift. It's undeserved, unmerited, and perfectly given. See, Jesus is our high priest. He's the guy we go to with our sacrifices. But Scripture tells us that there is a priesthood for believers. And actually, because Jesus is our high priest, we share in his inheritance. We become priests ourselves. And 1 Peter 2 says this, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are a holy priesthood. We are part of God's building. We might not be the cornerstone, that's Jesus. But we're called to be part of the building. We're part of the church. We become part of the wall. You see, we have a responsibility to bring good sacrifices to God. See, sacrifices for us comes down to our time, our offering, our money, whether it's serving in the church. They're the sacrifices that we bring to God. Going and speaking to people, sharing God's love with people. That's the sacrifices that we make. The question is, can we become like the priest of Malachi's time? Is it possible for us to show contempt to God? And the thing that really got my heart this week is the simple answer is yes. The simple truth there is that it comes down to our intentions and our attitudes. It comes down to our obedience, our willingness to do as the Father calls. The real challenge for me this week has been to examine my own heart. And God has spoken to me so powerfully through this scripture. Are my attitudes right for the things that I do in the church? See, I want to live a life that is in sacrifice to God. I want to give Him my best. Not out of duty or because I feel compelled to do them in a way, but because actually God deserves my honour, my respect to do things from the right heart. It puts a responsibility on me. If I'm bringing you God's word, I need to do it in the best way I can. I need to do the necessary work, because if I don't, that's me showing contempt for God's word. It puts the onus on me as a speaker to actually bring it with the right heart. If I serve in the music group, it's down to me to make sure that I'm doing the necessary work to make sure that I am competent. Because by making sure that I'm competent, I'm honouring God with what I'm doing. See, we don't live under the law. We live under grace. So there's always forgiveness if we get it wrong. But that should compel us even more to honour and respect God even more with what we bring Him. He deserves our best, not our worst. He deserves the cream off the top. The cream off the top of the milk. Not the dregs at the bottom. He deserves me to put in the effort into my work. Not for me just to do it at the last minute. Rush, rush, rush. See, honouring God is just doing things with the right heart. It's doing things with the right attitude. It's not doing things with the box-ticking analogy. You know, go to church, tick. Go to the prayer meeting, tick, done that one. Go to midweek group, tick. No, the heart should be, I want to be there because I respect and I honour the Father. Because I want to show Him my love for Him. My second point, let's bow the knee in humble adoration. I would like to read just a few verses from 1 Peter 2. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. A couple of weeks ago, Mark Andrews brought a wonderful preach about how we were the chosen people. How God chose us before the beginning of time, before creation. You, me, we were chosen. Doesn't that make you feel special? Makes me feel special. Thing is, how else should we react to being chosen than to giving God our all? Isn't that what He deserves? Isn't that the honour and respect He deserves? It puts the onus on us not to show contempt towards God. Those horrible words like disrespect, disdain, to scorn, they're horrible words. If we're not giving God our best, then that's essentially what we're doing. And that God's put that burden on my heart. I need to be bringing Him my best. See, the priests of Israel have given us such a valuable lesson on how to treat God. It's taught us a valuable lesson on how not to treat God as well. See, God deserves our best. And as I said, not that we're to do things out of duty, but just out of complete adoration for who He is. He is our Saviour, our King, our High Priest. See, to respect and honour God is to lay yourself at the foot of the cross. To bow down before Him and give thanks to Him for all that He has done for us. You know, He's made a way for us to spend time with Him. He's made a way for us to have an eternity with Him.
Doesn't that deserve for us to bow the knee?
Point three. Let every tongue confess he is Christ, God's only Son. See, I love this line of the song. This is what we all hope for. I know that I want all people to hear the gospel message and for them to understand what Jesus has done for them. Our church vision. In bold, it says to make Christ the King known in Ringwood and beyond. See, I would love to see all of Ringwood come to know Christ. I would love that. I would love to see this town acknowledge Jesus. I would love to see this town honour and respect him for who he is. See, he deserves the highest honour. Romans 14:10-11 says this, "For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge me." See, our job as Christ followers is to show honour and respect for those people that are around us. See, to honour and respect can be summed up in one other word, and that is to love. And that's been a word in season in this church, is to love. We are called to show God's love to all people, of all generations, of all races. Our calling is to share Jesus with everyone around us. See, there will be a time where everyone will stand before God. Everyone. That's me, you, everyone in this town and beyond. We will all stand before him. See, our mission is to make Christ the King known in Ringwood and beyond. See, all of those that have not given their lives to God and accepted him as their Saviour, do you know what? I implore you, I ask you to think and consider what it is that Jesus has done for you. I ask you to see what he has done. Just picture him with the holes in his hands and his feet as he hung there on the cross for you. See, the greatest way that we can honour Jesus is to accept him as our Saviour. That's the greatest way to honour him. To say that actually, I know that I've done wrong, but you are so much holier. You are so much higher than me, so I have to bow the knee. That is the greatest way to honour God. See, we are to show him respect in the way that we interact with him through our prayer life, our serving, our offering. See, when our hearts are in the right place, when our hearts are for God, he is honoured. Is that not what we're called to? When we serve him with a grateful attitude, we know that he will always be pleased. When we give ourselves to him and his purposes, he will always be pleased. See, this message has impacted my life more than you can imagine. I've spent all week in this passage, and it showed me the importance of coming to God with the right heart. That the things I do for him isn't about ticking boxes. It's about giving my all and giving my best. The cream of the crop. The stuff off the top. Not the dregs. So my time, I want to give God the best of my time. Not the 5 minutes that I can grab to pray in the day. I want to give him time. Because that's what he deserves. The thing is, I know through reading this passage that if I don't give him my best, essentially I am becoming like the priest in Malachi's time. I am showing him contempt. If I'm not giving him my best, then contempt leads to disrespect, disdain, and to scorn his name. The thing is, it's really important we get hold of that. I don't want to be like the priest in Malachi's time. I don't want to be like that. You know, God gives us so many chances. But he deserves our honour and our respect, and for us to do things out of love for him. As a group of believers, let's honour each other. You know, they gave us a great example of how to honour each other. Let's do that. As a son honours his father, the young should honour the old. Workmen should honour their foreman. The church should honour the elders. You know, it's a culture of honour that we are being called to. It doesn't matter who you are, your age, how you dress, whether you wear a uniform or not, you still deserve honour and respect. But more importantly, let's remember to honour the God that loves us, the God that gave himself for us, because we would be lost without him. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Ian. That was really challenging, provoking. And I think to finish off there, I think the Lord has actually been speaking to us through the whole of worship, actually building up to this point. So Ian has presented a case, a challenge, a provocation to us. And if we were to go away, think in the flesh, going, oh yeah, I need to do this, I need to do that, again, we fall back into ticking boxes again, don't we? And Paul's point in his letter says this: therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering for us. So he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh anymore, but what do we live by? The Spirit. What good news! Isn't that amazing? That's the good news, folks. Isn't that incredible? That we don't tick boxes anymore. We live by the Spirit of God. He helps us and enables us and empowers us to do the very things that Ian has been challenging and provoking us to do. So we don't go away heads down going, oh, I need to try harder, I need to do better. We go away going, Spirit of God, help me. Spirit of God, help me, because I want to honour you. And then Paul carries on in Romans 12, and what does he say? Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. We're not offering lambs anymore. We're not offering sheep anymore. What are we offering? Our very selves. It's like we climb onto the altar like Isaac did, and we lie there and go, what was it your nan used to say? Take me, Lord. I'm ready. Take me. Are you? I mean, the Lord has been speaking to us through the whole of worship about Spirit, about the Spirit of God. Honor. It's powerful, isn't it? This is powerful stuff. that we're not expected to fulfill the law of Moses anymore. No, Jesus has gone one further and said, oh no, don't commit adultery, don't lust. He's made it even harder. Don't commit murder. No, don't get angry with your brother. Oh my goodness. Put your hand up if you've ever been angry with your brother. Thank you, Daniel. He's made it even more difficult. This is impossible. How are we meant to live like this? The Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have provided God himself to tabernacle, to live inside us. That's awesome, isn't it? That's awesome. Let's respond to Ian's challenge. What's the best way to respond? Let's climb on that altar again. Let's offer, in view of his mercies, in view of what he describes, the holes in his hands, all that Jesus has done and given us, in view of that, we give our all. Let's stand. Let's stand. This is a moment to reflect. This is a moment to look into your very soul and think, am I living to tick boxes right now? Am I living to come back under the law again? Do the right thing, say the right thing. Look like I'm doing well. Let's be real with God. Let's be real with God. Listen, we're going to go internal. We're going to look into our very hearts. Are my attitudes right? Can I be bothered? Well, God has given us a comforter, an intercessor, an advocate, a paraclete, a comforter, the man who comes beside you and puts his arm around you and say, it's okay, I'm going to help you do this. I'm going to help you do this. It's okay, you're going to live by me now. It's okay. Yeah, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would help, do not condemn this morning, but convict. Lord, we don't want anyone walking out of here condemned. We want everyone walking out here going, wow, the grace of God's amazing. The provision of God is incredible. Wow. Out of the mouths of babes. Wow. Isn't Jesus incredible? And that promise, he says, is for you and for all those who are far off. That promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and for all who are far off. Yeah, I pray, mighty Jesus, that you would help everyone walk out of this place full of joy. Because they have a personal helper to help them go beyond the law of Moses. And with no curses. Only blessing. Wow. Wow. You are an amazing God. And I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. For choosing me. A wretch, someone who did not deserve your love and grace, and yet you picked me, saved me, and given me your helper to live this life 100% going for you most of the time. Father, thank you for everyone here this morning. Bless them. Bless them to the top of their heads, to the bottom of their toes. Bless them, Lord God. I pray for blessings this week. Pray for their daily bread, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would be blessed financially, that they would be provided for. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would pour out your Spirit upon everyone here today. and that they would leap for joy this week like calves in a brand new field. Lord God, that this week would be full of encounters with the Holy Spirit, encouraging them, helping them, pinpointing attitudes that need to change, bringing in line the plumb line of Jesus Christ. You are an amazing God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is to make Christ the King known in Ringwood and beyond. For more information or to give feedback, please visit www.kingschurchringwood.co.uk.